This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Power at the point, trying to just get back to the net. Nice pass, Petrarca scores! What a pass, and Quinn with the finish! Out of the corner, plays it back. It's a shot, scores! Welcome, Jacob Bernard-Docker! With a dart against his former team, ties the game at two! Benson in behind the goal. Everyone can handle him in front. Thompson scores! Zach Benson does the work, and Tage Thompson with the finish. 3-2 Buffalo. Ball for Bucksnight. It's a victory all around. Lindy Ruff's 600th regular season win as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, and he acknowledged the crowd going down the tunnel.
Those are the games you got to win. We went out, we went and got it. Great win.
Game, boys, but this one goes to Lindy for 600 wins.
All the nice storylines that emerged from last night's win over Ottawa. I'll start with this, Marty. Is March the worst month of the year?
Yes, when you wake up and there's snow on the ground and you just got your head shaved the night before. I'm like, seriously? My Bald for Bucks cap, the one that you're sporting right now, really came in handy this morning. I had to run back to the closet and get it because I was like, what is this white stuff all over the backyard?
Producer Jeff, greatly offended by my question merely because of the sports calendar, but I'm parking sports for my sanity and for my warmth, and for trying not to be constantly misled by this 4+ week window on the annual calendar.
Well, I'll say this. March is a great calendar for sports. Yes, you got March Madness. The NHL is really ramping up. The NBA is ramping up. Golf is back and prime, you're watching. But I have to say April could also be a month where the Masters, the NHL playoffs are starting, the NBA playoffs are starting. You got Major League Baseball that's starting. So yeah, March is a great sports calendar, but I feel like usually we don't get these mornings where we wake up and it's, 31, 30 degrees outside, there's snow. In April, we're usually past that. So that's why I'm going to say March may not be as good every day of the month as we would want it to be.
Sorry for the start of show digression. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sabres Live. It is hump day, so we're getting over that from a weather standpoint. And I don't know, why don't we start with this based on its arrival in our social feed just moments ago at Sabres Live, and it mildly or significantly ties in with our group texting last night where I said, hashtag, make offer sheets the norm.
Oh, Yeah, you went a little crazy there.
Well,
but
no,
okay.
I didn't. Well, I mean, if you're calling me that, then you're calling me that in a wide brush because
I didn't say you're crazy. I said you went a little crazy. That's
I didn't though. I've always been this way. That's the thing. I went nowhere. I stayed in my lane. I've been in this lane for a long time. And okay, now that JJ Paterka continues to produce and doesn't have a contract, we were prompted with. Better sign JJ fast or someone is going to offer sheet him. Let me preface the reason why I'm interested in this topic and always will be. Dylan Holloway of the St. Louis Blues, previously a 9-point scorer in the NHL, reached 60 points last night in his first ever season with the St. Louis Blues. Oh, and by the way, the other former Oiler teammate that was offer sheeted by the Blues, Philip Broberg, had 4 points in yet another win for St. Louis, who is 14-2-2 in their last 18 games.
So when it comes to offer sheet and players like JJ Paterka, here's the thing. It's really a five-day window between July 1st and July 5th. Because starting on July 5th, players like Paterka can now... the team can file for arbitration. Once a team has filed for arbitration, they cannot be offer sheeted anymore. So a lot of time, offer sheets don't happen in the first 5 days of July because teams are looking at their own RFA, they're looking at UFA, and they're working like that. And then they say, okay, we'll get to those players in a little bit. Think of last year when Holloway and Broberg were signed to an offer sheet. It was later in the summertime. So You have 5 days to kind of worry about. So I get it that that may be stressful for a guy like JJ Paterka, but he also has to agree to a contract with another team. It's not like a team drops an offer sheet on his table and says, you've been offer sheeted. And that's not how it works, right? So if JJ Paterka in 5 days in July wants to look elsewhere, and well, I can probably tell you that his price is going to be very high. Right? If other teams want to come in and look at JJ Paterka, he's going to be asking for a lot of money. Then after that, on July 5th, the Sabres file for arbitration. Boom, that all goes away. So that's the thing. I think we have to be concerned about it. And we also should look around the league and say who's a candidate for an offer sheet. But it's very rare that those things will happen in the first 5 days of July. But you're right. Like, JJ Paterka is really good. He's having a career year. And, you know, AFP projection were, you know, around $6.5 million in a six-year deal. I think we can pretty much say that's about a guarantee. Like, $6.5 million for JJ Paterka on a six-year deal is my probably bottom line right now. I think it's going to be a little higher than that.
How much do the final 12 games potentially impact that dollar figure?
I don't think it impacts it that much because now we know, like, what JJ has done this year, right? We know that he can play with Tage Thompson and produce. He can play with Ryan McLeod and produce. He can produce on the power play. He's a player that obviously fits what the Sabres team is trying to do now. Like, they moved on from Dylan Cousins. Cousins was... look, a good player, but not something that was really fitting. And I think when you look at what Lindy Ruff is trying to do with the team, JJ Paterka is a player that fits exactly what Lindy is trying to do right now, which, you know, he mentioned that last night, and it took a little while this year, but hopefully that's the direction that this team is going. Winning against Winnipeg, winning against Ottawa, like, those are good wins. James Reimer had a big say in that, but these are good wins, and JJ was a big part of that.
So when it comes to offer sheet speculation, worry, prevention, do you suspect that a deal will get done long before we reach that stage in July?
I mean, I'll put my, you know, positive glasses on and say, oh, yeah. I mean, JJ Paterka is a big part of this organization, big part of this team. My concern...
And oh, let me guess.
My concern is going to be very blunt. And I think you know where I'm going to go.
Yes, I do.
Is his agent, Alan Walsh, has been spitting rumors of J.J. Paterk. Well, I don't have any concrete proof of that. I'm speculating like Alan Walsh is. So I'm playing the game here. But it's like, oh, the Rangers won J.J. Paterk. Oh, this team wants. And really, from what I'm gathering, there's really no truth to it. Maybe teams have called on J.J. Paterk, but there's no way the Sabres were even entertaining that. Then that's a tool that maybe an agent has to raise a player's value and say, look at the buzz that's around J.J. Paterka. So I think Alan Walsh is going to call the Sabres at the end of the year and say, my client wants 8 years, $8.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, like settle down here. Like he probably will ask for 9.5 for 8 years, right? That's probably Alan Walsh. And then you're like, okay, settle down. Like let's be smart about it. But knowing the agent and knowing the situation, he's probably going to wait until July 1, and he's probably going to use the pressure that could be other teams talking to him about J.J. Paterka, because by that point, it's not, you know, like, not collusion, what's the word? Be collusion or whatever, but well, there's a word there too when you talk to other players, but tampering. It's not tampering, right?
Thank
it's
you.
Not
yeah.
that. It's not tampering. So, your
collusion
you're
is when more conspired to not do something. Like
yes. So he's gonna
like
wait
when the
until
owners
July 1.
Were you know in previous eras of sport, you know, they colluded to not sign players to anything above this.
Yes.
Right. And then
they
that's
colluded
what
leads
to give
false information.
They
colluded to give false information so that they could keep other people's salary lower and whatever.
Right.
So, but look. I don't think that J.J. Paterka will be signed before July 1, just not because the Sabres don't want to do it, because I think his agent is going to drag this on as long as he can to make it work best for his client.
Okay. Well, interesting topic nonetheless. And, well, take it off of the Sabres page for a second and have a little more commentary on how successful this strategy has been for the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
What do you think will happen? Will we see more in the way of offer sheets presented towards younger players with still limited NHL experience?
Yeah.
At the bargain rate of which both Holloway and Broberg were acquired. We're talking just over $2 million a year for Holloway and $4.5 million a year for Broberg.
I think that's very possible, Duffer. And I'm looking at a list of some of the players that could be offer sheet candidate, right? And then I know J.J. Paterka is on that list. Bo Byram is also on that list. Keandre Miller is on that list. Evan Bouchard in Edmonton is on that list. You've got Matthew Knights on the list. Like, you've got a lot of players that are on the list.
But thinking of it in the context of St. Louis going after the Edmonton players,
mm-hmm.
Broberg, Holloway, in no way equal where J.J. Paterka is already at now. We're talking about something completely different. We're talking about trying to get players who have come nowhere close to expectations.
Yeah.
But someone sees a huge upside. So wouldn't Jack Quinn be more in this conversation than J.J. Paterka?
If you are wanting to overpay a player by a little bit,
but what is overpaying when you're paying $2.2 million for a 60-point player in Dylan Holloway?
But I'm just saying, like, so you're looking at saying, we're going to go, and the Oilers were a team that were in a cap situation to say, we can't match one or the other or both because we have other contracts that are coming into play. Mm-hmm. And so you have to find that sweet spot. Now, I don't think the Sabres are in that position to say we would not be able to retain. They could not choose to retain,
right.
But they would not be able to. That's a different situation. But you would have to overpay, I think, a Jack Quinn by a little bit to say, hey, we're going to take him away from the Sabres. And so I don't see Jack Quinn being that candidate because it doesn't fit in the how you work an offer sheet and put a team in a bad situation. Boston would have been a prime candidate for an offer sheet on Jeremy Swayman 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they had Linus Ullmark already getting paid, and he was still in Boston. They were really tight to the cap, and you could have paid Jeremy Swayman what he's making right now or close to, and put Boston in a position where they wouldn't have been able to match in 48 hours unless they would have traded somebody and made, you know, some major movement. So that's what you got to find. And that's why I think the Sabres are probably not concerned about Quinn or Peterka or Byram, because whatever the price would come at, unless it was a crazy, like, what are you doing price, they would probably match it. They would probably go out and match it. So, you know, if you want to look at what Carolina did, you want to offer sheet Sebastian Aho, thank you. You gave us a favor. You did us a favor, Montreal, because maybe we weren't going to have him sign by camp and by the start of the season. And now you've offer sheeted him. He agreed to that contract. We match. Boom. It's all said and done. It worked for Carolina. I think this could potentially even work for the Buffalo Sabres.
What? I don't even know if this is really valid within our discussion about offer sheets, but you have talked about this player a lot. He now has 6 points in 3 games against Ottawa this year, which leads all scorers head to head. He, with every point, continues to add to his career season. He is a first-year Sabre, Ryan McLeod.
Yeah, so Ryan McLeod, for me, it's going to be interesting what they do with McLeod moving forward and where they fit him, right? Because I look at McLeod and I think he's a third-line center, but he's producing, and he's producing at a really, really nice rate. And so he's an RFA. Would teams look at Ryan McLeod in the same way, saying, okay, he's making $2.1 million this year, he's an RFA, and he's an older RFA, so we're getting more of his prime years right now. He's 25. He's not 22 or 23, but, you know, that's, I mean, you only have until you're 26 years old to really be an RFA, because when you're 27, you're a UFA. So he's on the other side. You're like, okay, if we were to offer sheet Ryan McLeod on a 5 or 6 year deal, we get him from 25, 26 to 30, 31. We get him in those prime years. Mm-hmm. When you offer sheet a 22 or 23 year old guy, well, you're getting him from 23 to 27, 28, depending on the length of the contract. And maybe you're like, we're still before the prime years. But with Ryan McLeod, I mean, this season, 43 points, I'm not going to say he's going to double last year's, you know, top that he had, but he's going to get to 50. And last year was at 30. Like, is a third line center at 50 to 60 points incredible? Yes, I would take that 100%. But he's also playing minutes now that is a second line center type of minutes, mm-hmm. because of Norris not being in the lineup and Thompson on the wing and Kulik's in the middle. And so I don't know that I have him as a 55, 60 points guy as a second line center, mm-hmm. but maybe a 40 to 50 points guy, third line center. I'm totally good with that.
I hope you're enjoying the chat today.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so he's at $2 million. AFP Analytics has projected Ryan McLeod to be at $3 million on a 3-year
deal. How long ago
was
this projection?
This was at Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah. And they also mark like something like...
Why don't you reach out to James right
now?
Yeah,
I should. They are going to come up with different projections after the season. But they also have a column that says, what are they trending? Are they trending down? Are they trending up? So it makes a difference, because with Ryan McLeod, they wrote similar. So by at Christmas, when they came out with their projection, he was similar, meaning he's the same way that he was. He's just, you know, slightly trending up. I think right now it would say trend up. I think right now it probably would be in the 3.5 to 4.5, like around the $4 million range for Ryan McLeod. Like, I think he's $1 million above those projections in the way that he's playing right now.
I would agree. If you're interested, like I am, in this conversation today, hit us up on X at Sabres Live and offer up anything and everything that may be related to current Sabres their future contracts, their situation, their role within this team that has 12 games to go in the regular season. And one player that we probably could have never assumed to be talking about at this point in the season is maybe emerging as a consistent depth player among the forward group. He is also an RFA. His name is Tyson Kozak. What do you think Kozak has been able to carve out for himself here? And again, I'll say it, this unexpected larger window in the NHL than I think most of us could have imagined this year.
So it's kind of funny because there is no projection in AFP analytics on Tyson Kozak, right? Because he was in the AHL. He was not in the NHL. He was not figuring to be like, hey, let's put projections out there for Tyson Kozak. I think Tyson Kozak would be very much in line for what would have started as a two-way deal at the start of the year into a one-way contract. And you do a 1 or 2 year deal on a one-way somewhere in the low $1.2 million, whatever, and you say, hey, look, we're just rewarding you. He was on an entry-level deal paying him $890,000. So you're looking at it and saying, okay, well, you know, that's the base. It doesn't matter if we go 900, $1 million, $1.1 million, $1.2 million, but I think that's saying, like, Jacob Bryson signed a 900,000 one-year extension. That to me is, okay, you know what, you're a seventh kind of defenseman, and if somebody emerges from Rochester, maybe you're at the mercy of having to be sent down, and it's not going to cost the Sabres anything on their salary cap in the NHL. Anything under 1.25, I believe, is, you know, doesn't cost you anything on your cap. So you do the same thing with Tyson Kozak, but it's a little bit more money because right now you're, you know, you have Peyton Krebs, you have Tyson Kozak, you have those type of guys that are basically doing the same thing, but you're paying Peyton Krebs a lot more, right? So it's looking at it like Peyton Krebs at $1.45 million from now until the end of next year. So maybe that's Kozak money right there and even a little less. What do you say? 1.1, 1.2. That's good.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking 3 years at 1.1. is the next deal for Kozak.
But why would he take a three-year deal then? Like, it's like, I think
because
it's
he would be the mayor and then some of Souris, Manitoba.
He would be the mayor, definitely. He's 2 years, so it would put him in a place where he's 22 years old, so 3 years would put him in a place where he'd be 25. You know, if you've established yourself in the NHL and you're a place where is going up, you'll make more money.
What does establish himself in your eyes mean? When you say that, like, what is your projection for him moving forward? Because that's, I don't arbitrarily land on a number like 1.1 for 3 years. It's my expectation of a guy who was a seventh round pick and has done a lot of little things to garner incredible praise and respect from coaches at both levels here, AHL and NHL. But I'm not envisioning Tyson Kozak being a 24 goal scorer.
No, I'm not in this.
Like, that's why I'm saying, like, why would he take a three-year deal? Because I think Tyson knows what his projection, and he's, don't get me wrong, he's never going to limit himself. No one would. But, like, there's a reality to this situation. And if anything, I think Tyson Kozak understands reality.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. But if I was his representation, I would say, Tyson, let's do two. Let's do 2 years because my expectation of you is to be an everyday player. Every day, every game. You're healthy, you play 82 games, and you're a fourth line center, or you can play the wing, but you're on the fourth line. You kill penalties, and you're being used in that role, and you're going to flourish in that role, and maybe you carve yourself a career of being a bottom six, but you're reliable and dependent, and you play hard, and maybe you're 20 to 25 points a year, right? Like, okay, that's fine. Like, you're not going to move the needle up where you're going to go to 40, 50 points, but they know what to expect. And that's what, like, Johan Larsson and Zemgus Girgensson and those guys were. Exactly. And look, Zemgus took a deal in Tampa for less than $1 million. And he's like, but he's late in his career and you just wanted a good place. This would be a good place for Tyson Kozak. 100%. But if I was his representation, I would say, I get that, You have a 3-year deal, maybe a one way at a million plus or a million one or whatnot. Let's do two, and then you establish yourself even more. Mm-hmm. In the way of, hey, they need you for the role that you are doing. And in 2 years from now, well, maybe they don't have Peyton Krebs. Maybe they don't have somebody that's in your spot, and you're mm-hmm. taking that spot and you're taking that money.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's probably a very unexpected talking point here for us and for our audience today. But I think it's really interesting, just because I think most people are sitting here obviously already mapping out a potential offseason, following your lead as to what the team looks like on opening night next year. So therefore, they're already doing their subtractions that they don't want to see on the roster moving forward. And by that process of elimination, I think people are maybe scratching some of those names that are kind of muddied between third and fourth line right now. And I would suspect that people would want Tyson Kozak on their fourth line moving forward. So anyway, I guess the real question of the day, as we bury the lead, is James Reimer starting tomorrow?
Yes, he probably would be, in my opinion. And I get it. Lindy Ruff says we have a plan, we have a schedule, but why not reward it? And look, schedules changes all the time. I remember I was told 1 year, Marty, you're playing Thursday night against the Phoenix Coyotes at the time. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday, I'm practicing. I'm feeling good. I'm getting ready for Thursday night game. And then after the game, Lindy came up to me and said, oh, Dom is going to play tomorrow. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I learned early that schedules can change. Calendar can change. James Reimer was a big reason, probably the main reason why they beat the Winnipeg Jets. In the way that he played. I get it. They scored 4 and then an empty netter in Winnipeg. But he really gave them the chance and the feeling, hey, we can really win today. And against Ottawa, if it's not for Reimer early in the first, if it's not for Reimer early in the second, you're probably down 3-1, 4-1, you know, at some point, and you're not coming back. So Reimer gave him that feel again. And, you know, that's exactly what you want. And it's not about UPL. Look, UPL is going to get his crease, is going to get to play some games or whatever. Mm-hmm. I look at the other, you know, 18 skaters that are dressed that night, that want to perform well, that want to win games, that are put in that position. If you're down 4-1 in the second period to Ottawa, well, then we don't get like a Tage Thompson game-winning goal. We don't get a Bernard Docker 2-2 goal. Like we don't get that. Because the game slips away, you play different, and, you know, you lose a game 5-1 in empty net, and it's like, oh, you know what? That was a tough one. And, you know, now Reimer gave you a chance to see Thompson score 35, to see Bernard Docker gets his first as a Saber. Mm-hmm. So that's about the 18 other skaters that want to win, that want to compete, and that are getting saves right now from James Reimer.
Will Reimer start tomorrow? We won't find out today because the Sabres are not practicing. So, but we can look ahead with great interest to tomorrow night. The Penguins are in town. It is Pride Night inside KeyBank Center. Looking forward to seeing Marty and myself in our Pride t-shirts through the broadcast. And you can get involved by landing a Pride t-shirt and ticket, all part of this package, tomorrow night. And the ticket package starts at just $30. Visit sabres.com/pridepack to purchase yours today. There are so many stories around the NHL to discuss, including the big winners in the East last night, the Islanders and the Blue Jackets. What? How did that happen? Anyway, we'll dive into that story. Probably reinforce that Ottawa has now lost 3 of 4 thanks to last night's result in Buffalo when we come back.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's the half of the show where we talk faster as we try to go around the NHL and hit every single story. Let's start in the East. That's where Buffalo resides. We mentioned before the break that Columbus and the Islanders were idle last night, and they saw teams around them lose and waste games on the schedule. So it keeps them exactly where they were hoping to be, and that is still within striking distance. Montreal lost to St. Louis. They've been so good. It was just their second regulation loss in the last 14 games. Montreal hangs on, though, to wild card number two, based on results behind them. One of the best quotes I've heard in a while, and Marty St. Louis maintains he just recently heard this, and he described last night in St. Louis not as failure, but as fertilizer. And I thought that was a really good line.
That's a great line. He's had some really fun line, both in French and in English this year, where he goes, it's the game within the game, and you have to play the game inside of the game within the game of the game. And it was like, oh my gosh, Marty, where are you going? But last night in his press conference, Duffer, I don't know if you watched the clips, but he's playing with his ear. He's just like talking, like it's just, you know, standing there casual, like two guys having a beer. And he did say, yeah, it's fertilizer. And look, the Montreal Canadiens shouldn't have even been in the game. Samuel Montembeau was unbelievable in the first period, in the first half of the game. St. Louis took it to Montreal, and although Montreal almost came back, Slafkovský hit a post. There was a deflection. There was, you know, there was a lot of chances. But at the end of the day, this was not good for Montreal, which they lose a little bit of momentum in what they'd been building lately at the start of this road trip.
So St. Louis, 14-2-2 in the last 18, as we said. They've won seven in a row. Would you care to guess their goals for and goals against in this seven-game winning streak?
Seven, so I'm going to say 31-4 and 21. No, not 21. 18 against.
34-10. They have outscored they are winning 5-1 basically every game. They won 6-1 last night. Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, that's pretty significant. And listen, for some players, a mid-season tournament like the Four Nations Face-Off could boost you up. And look, Jordan Binnington didn't really play well in the Four Nations Face-Off until the final game where he was incredible. Oh, he played well in the overtime against Sweden, the first one, but he was incredible in the final in third period in OT, and he has been incredible throughout this stretch here since the Four Nations Face-Off.
So Detroit lost as well. As we looked at the Eastern Conference standings, they were unable to close. Now, their likelihood of winning last night was very slim.
Think to me in
high school. And they lost to Colorado, who's 11-1-1 in the last 13 games. But what's up with the Red Wings goaltending? Mrazek got hurt, and then Talbot couldn't dress, so it was Alex Lyon starting and Sebastian Kosa backing up.
Yeah, so Cam Talbot, this is interesting because I have not looked on... It says he's dealing with an injury. The reports are saying an undisclosed injury. So maybe that is why Peter Mrazek was playing so many games but Talbot did play one game in that stretch. It's very confusing. Colorado was basically doing whatever they wanted last night. Mm-hmm. When I got home, put on the game, it was, you know, it was on the big screen, and it was early in the third period, and Colorado was on a power play. Nathan MacKinnon broke his stick, had time to go back to the bench, get a new stick, change side of the ice. He was on the right side when he broke his stick, ended up on the left side. Puck was moving everywhere. It got to him. He shot it into the net. He didn't even celebrate. He was like, what did I just experience in the last minute and a half? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how Colorado was way, way better than Detroit last night.
Yeah, they were. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia both got roasted by their respective opponents. The Lightning clobbered the Penguins, and Philadelphia got destroyed by Toronto. They've lost 11 out of 12. But if you focus on the positives, Toronto, Tampa, and Florida remain atop the Atlantic, three teams separated by 2 points now. It is going to be an incredible push to see who wins the Atlantic.
No games in hand for any of those teams. And yes, Toronto is number one right now because of regulation and overtime wins. The first tiebreaker is RW, regulation wins. Well, both Toronto and Florida have 35. So you got to go to regulation and overtime wins, which Toronto has more. Florida has won more in the shootout. So that's the reason. So you're trying to minimize the effect of the shootout. Toronto's number one, but this is going to be a dance all the way to the end. Nylander, third straight season, 40 or more goals. Mm-hmm. But how about McMahon? Bobby McMahon's got 20. Yep. I mean, seriously, that, and John Tavares has 32 now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is incredible what they're getting. And Anthony Stolarz was in that. I'm still waiting for the Leafs to pick a starter for the last 11 games of the season because I have no idea. I know who I would go with. I would go with Stolarz, but I don't know what the Leafs are going to do with their goalies game one of the playoffs.
Which coach said, oh, that was a heavyweight battle out there last night?
Heavyweight battle out there last night.
This falls under the expected sports cliches category.
Yeah, would that have been in the Kraken Flames game? Or you're staying out in the East?
Dude, come on.
Oh, the Capitals Jets. Yes,
thank
Capitals
you. Which
Jets.
Coach
thank
would
you.
Have said something so expected?
That would have been Scott Arneil?
Yes, because
okay,
there's
good.
No way
like,
Spencer
wait, there's only two
new
choices.
Age is going to use that type of terminology. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think, like, that's a Paul Maurice type quote. Oh, it's a heavyweight battle out there. But I'm like, Paul Maurice isn't in Winnipeg. With Scott Arneil following that footstep of using those type of... Yeah, Scotty. Yeah. But look...
And they won.
It was. And they won. And they won in overtime. Man, Nick Ehlers now has 24. You know, great release. He beats Logan Thompson, who was sliding the wrong way when that happened. Ovi gets his goal. That was a big goal for Washington. Make it 2-2. Mm-hmm. It was and Jacob Chychrun played. So yes. Now that is 58 games in a row where the Washington Capitals have used the same group of six defensemen, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk got a point. So all six of those defensemen are now 20 points or more. We talked about that yesterday on the show.
Yeah, and the Capitals are 9-1-1 in the last 11, thanks to the Ovechkin tying goal in the third period. And he is now six away from passing Gretzky and setting the all-time mark. So the Capitals continue to pick up points. They're at Minnesota tomorrow, and then they have 2 days off before they host Buffalo on Sunday.
So where, you would need a hat trick from Ovechkin next game and then a hat trick from Ovechkin against the Sabres for him to pass Wayne Gretzky on the game against Buffalo.
So how many do you think he gets against Minnesota heading, and then what will he need against Buffalo?
Depends who plays in goal. If it's Marc-Andre Fleury, he's definitely getting a hat trick because Flower's given him a lot over the years. And it's not against Flower. Flower's been good this year, but it's just Ovechkin has had his number. I think Ovi gets one against the Minnesota Wild. He will be five away when they play the Buffalo Sabres on Sunday. And then we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think he gets five in a game, but maybe he gets a little closer. And then after that, maybe next week, we start seeing Wayne Gretzky following the great Alex Ovechkin around because it will create that buzz around the NHL.
New York Rangers are still on the outside looking in after another loss last night in LA. They have dropped four of the last five. They can take solace in the fact that virtually everybody loses in LA. And incredibly... As the Kings depart for a one-game road trip, they'll come home for 8 of their next 9. Like, this is so ridiculous that they navigated the start of the year largely on the road. Yeah. Now it's home heavy. They have points in 15 straight home games. And Marty, there were audible bursts by me watching the game by myself last night with some of the plays and mostly the drama that this game had. It felt like no one was going to score. And then when the Rangers did in the second, I was like, this could be the night that the Kings fall again in regulation time. Incredibly, their power play scored twice. They carried a 2-1 lead into the third. And even though the stats would tell you that Darcy Kuemper faced only 23 shots, he was sensational, offsetting what Shesterkin was doing at the other end. And now LA has won 4 in a row and 9 of the last 10, and on and on and on their home success goes.
So, I mean, we talked about the New York Rangers winning a game this year where they had against Vancouver just over the last weekend. They had one shot in the first, three halfway in the game. They won by scoring 4 goals on 8 shots in the third period, basically, against Vancouver. They had 2 shots against the LA Kings. I get it. LA's good at home. But they had 2 shots in the first period against the Kings. Yep. Again, they had 3 shots in the period just earlier this week. I mean, that I don't know. I hate to put that on a coach. And we talk about Lindy Ruff getting to 600 and Peter Laviolette's a coach that has that longevity. But it almost feels like if you're a coach and game after game, your team comes out with 1, 2, or 3 shots in a period in the first period, I'd be like, is this mutiny? Like, are they revolting against the coach? Like, that you have one thing to do. Get out of the blocks, Duffer, not the box. Get out of the blocks. Like, the right way in the first period. And once again, they had 2 shots in the first period.
The fact that mutiny rolled off your tongue so easily and neither one of us could find tampering at the tip of our tongue earlier.
Yes, mutiny is used in movies a lot. That's mutiny, but tampering never is a good storyline in a movie.
That's true. Now, within all of that, I feel like I got to keep mentioning Quentin Byfield. He's got 8 goals in the last 11. Didn't score last night, but the presence is there. And they did lose Tanner Janot for the last 16 minutes of the game, and he's not going to travel for the road game to Colorado. And they are very blessed with depth this year. And while Tanner Janot may never be what he was at the start of his career in Nashville, he is still a very significant presence for them. So
he handled Matt Rempe all right last night. Like, they got in a fight, right? And Tanner Janot knew he couldn't get any shots in, so he handled him by shaking him up and put him down. And JT Miller, again, the only goal scorer for the Rangers. He's like the only bright spot, although that was barely over the line. Wow. Like, Darcy Kemper's effort to get back in the net and try to make that save was pretty significant.
Yeah, I do want to get to Calgary quick before we
break. Oh, yeah.
So this was high drama. Seattle led in the third period. Calgary scored to tie. Calgary took the lead. Yeah. Everybody's thinking, oh, yeah, the winning ways are continuing. Then Seattle scores very, very late. And now all of a sudden, fear has struck everyone in the Saddle Dome. And yet, Nazem Kadri creates Flames history by scoring the overtime winner for a second straight game as Calgary sits 4 back of the Blues with 3 games in hand.
Well, Nazem Kadri, he was always on my list of who would you like on your team? And I'm like, oh, I'd love Nazem Kadri. And look, he's kind of like, he's not Ryan McLeod, but he's the kind of guy that on a really good team, he fits better as a third line center, but could play top 6 very well and produces. And he scored his 28th goal of the season last night. He had 2 in this game. Dustin Wolf was really good in net again, made some big saves, which allowed Calgary to get there. And it was 6 minutes left in the game, and Seattle was up 2-1. You thought Calgary was done. As you mentioned, Calgary comes back to make it 3-2 just to see it slip. It was a very, very fun finish to the game.
Huberdeau's got 7 points in his last 3 games. There were many who thought the hot start wouldn't last. Obviously, he's not the 100-plus Huberdeau we saw in Florida, but I'm so glad for him that he does have a major impact on this team.
No, it's great. And look, I mean, $10.5 million is a lot of money, but at least he's recuperating some of the value, right? It's never going to be $10.5 million value, but it's there. And I'm sure somewhere Alan Walsh is loving the fact that Huberto is client, like J.J. Paterka is client, is at least producing and helping.
Rasmus Anderson, quick thought on that.
So Rasmus Anderson scored to make it 3-2 late in the third period before Seattle scored. And then he turned around at the blue line and stared down a Seattle Kraken fan in the crowd. Now, amazingly, the Calgary Flames, you know, game press and PR or whatever, like, you know, they have T-shirts that says Rasmus Anderson stared at you. And they went down and gave it to this fan. It's an amazing thing. Like, this is in game. They didn't have, like, that happened in the first period. And then the third period, we're going to give you a T-shirt. This happened instantly. He scored, stared at the fan. Boom, they came down with, what's the mascot's name in Calgary?
Harvey. That,
Harvey the Hound. He lost his tongue one time, but he's there taking a picture, and it was amazing drama going on, not only on the ice, but off the ice.
Tom Wilson wants one of those shirts as well. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Again, it's Pride Night tomorrow at KeyBank Center. Look forward to seeing you there. Pittsburgh is in tonight. You can check out our new Sabres Embedded on Sabres YouTube. It debuts at 7 p.m. inside the trade deadline. Marty, you're big on birthdays today here on March the 26th.
Yeah, before I do so, I wanted to kind of match you with my Bald for Bucks cap, toque, beanie, whatever you call it. So I put it on. Diana Ross is 81 years old. That's incredible. Diana Ross, legend. Steven Tyler, also legend, is 77. I know he's had some voice issues, and there was some, you know, shows that were canceled, but
they retired because of his vocal issues.
But American Idol with Steven Tyler and, you know, A-Day of Aerosmith was incredible. I had all their albums and CDs. It was incredible. And one that surprised me is Martin Short is 75 years old. I said in the break, Martin Short looks the same now as he did 20 years ago. And Steve Martin, for that matter, too, they look the same way. But I never thought Martin Short, like if you asked me how old he was, I would have said early 60s. He's 75. Still looking great and sounding great when he's on TV.
Where do you rank them as a duo?
They're pretty high. Like, they are pretty iconic, right? They even have a commercial where they're, you know, they talk about books and the whole thing. And what are the things that attach to fish and whales and stuff like that? Like, one of those things. Jeff is writing it. And a barnacle. Yeah, I know all about barnacles because they've always been kind of attached together, which is awesome.
Okay, I hit you unexpectedly with an offer sheet discussion today. What are you going to hit back with tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we'll see what happens in practice. If James Reimer is going to start for a third consecutive,
and how does Lukanen take this right now?
Look, the team's winning. You just got to go with it, and you got to practice hard. You got to go out there, and it's not about practicing hard. It's about doing things that you need to change in your game a little bit.
All right, so it's Sabres and Penguins. Pride Night tomorrow at KeyBank Center. We're back at noon with Sabres Live. See you then.